B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Yes.
Me
right.
too.
And right now, yes.
And it's not... Okay.
Yes. Okay. When you say right now, I'm like, all right, what is it? Okay.
Yes.
So you would rather have Jalen Ramsey...
Ramsey's.
Yeah. You'd rather have Ramsey's than you would Odell Beckham. See, I want Odell, man. I want Odell. I know it sounds almost contradictory, but if you put $107.9 million in your quarterback, I want to do whatever it takes to make sure that he's successful. And I want to give him, in this very high-fly passing league, I want to give him somebody that I know can catch that football.
Yeah.
And stretch the field. I'd go Odell over Ramsey.
Here's part of my concern. Cleveland just gave up a pretty good haul for him not that long ago. It was a first, a third, Jabril Peppers, and Kevin Zeitler.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just going to sell off short.
Nope. I get it.
And besides that, let's be clear here. He said they called about the availability.
Uh-huh.
Not that he's available.
How did the phone call end is where they were.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cleveland, he's not available. Click.
Mm.
It could be as simple as that.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, sure, I would assume... You're always calling around the league.
That's
to see
his
what
job.
Going.
Yeah.
Especially a team that's struggling that has a player like that. You're going to check and see, hey.
Struggling.
What do you think?
Yeah. Many people thought that, oh, yeah, Cleveland, Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, okay. Yeah, quarterback sucks. Why not try to pluck their best wide receiver?
I don't know.
Sure,
maybe.
Make a call. Hey, you thinking of blowing us up?
I think that they overvalued Baker Mayfield in the worst way before the season.
Looks
and they
like
said,
it.
Oh, we have our guy, we have our boy, we have our franchise quarterback. And I'll say this, of the 20 franchise quarterbacks that they've had in the last 20 years, I think he's the guy that they looked at and went, oh yeah, this is the real deal, finally. More so than any other of the names you could throw out there. And they were sold a bill of goods.
Yeah.
And he's not that guy.
Yeah, I had sipped from that cup as well.
That Baker Mayfield
was I thought Baker Mayfield going to that team with that group of guys, I was like, oh man, they're going to tear it up this year. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Not the case, unfortunately. You are the 97.5 The Fan at WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, 7 o'clock hour, brought to you by Univest Bank. Are you frustrated by escalating HR costs and legislative compliance? There's a simple solution. It's time for Univest Employee Benefits. Visit univest.net to set up your free benefits analysis today. So we're going to be discussing this Odell Beckham thing. If it came down to it, Odell or Jalen Ramsey, who would you want? And right now, we're just kicking the tires here ourselves and seeing how many people would be willing to welcome in the extremely talented and often headache-inducing Odell Beckham Jr.
Uh-huh.
I am all about it.
Or someone that's out there just trying to make sure that his back is healthy, going to check out different specialists. You know, he was with Child not too long ago.
Yeah.
You know, he had a nice dinner with Deshaun Watson and some Texans after the doctor meeting.
Yeah. Hey, it's not like I don't want either of these. I want both of them, right?
Well,
obviously,
yeah.
But that's not going to happen. But if I had to choose, yeah, I would love to have Jalen Ramsey. But if I can get that offensive firepower, yeah, I'll take that one. I'm going to go ahead and take that one.
A lot of baggage.
What baggage? There's no baggage.
Just drama.
He's a wide receiver. He's a really talented wide receiver.
Yeah, it works out so well here for us.
Hey, you know what? Keep that same energy. How about that one? Keep that same energy. See how we do. Bye.
You like that?
And then I can't help but think of this moment playing the Vikings. And like a lot of us, I was out there in Minnesota for the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And like a lot of us, more of us, I experienced that pettiness of Minnesota Vikings fans.
Oh, yeah.
I have never met a more whiny, bitchy fan base. More woe is me fan base than the Minnesota Vikings fan base. I have never met more whiny, more bitchy fan base than Minnesota Vikings.
More than New Orleans?
Way more than New Orleans. Because New Orleans was at least entertaining about it. Like, they were pissed off about football. Like, Minnesota's feelings were hurt.
Okay.
Like, I can take it. I have more respect for somebody that gets pissed off than I do, oh, you really hurt my feelings.
Okay.
And that's more what Minnesota was.
Huh.
And when they lost in the NFC Championship game here and couldn't take the way Eagles fans were behaving, after they marched on our art museum steps to do that BS skull chant and then wrapped up the Rocky statue in their stupid purple and yellow, I'm going to go ahead and say that. And then when I was out there, I saw the worst fan you could ever imagine. This guy was wearing a T-shirt that said, I'm rooting for whoever beats the Eagles. Mm. Like, I'm willing to root for cheaters like the Patriots, because I want them to beat the Eagles.
Yeah.
And it was like, and he had like a variety of these shirts because other people saw him as well. I got to find the picture. I tweeted it out some time ago. I'll find it again and tweeted it out. I tweeted it out 2 years ago at the Super Bowl. So I will find it again and put it out there. But the Eagles are now going into Minnesota against a team that actually came in here and beat them last year, and Kirk Cousins is their quarterback. And they're going to go out there, and they're going to try to just kind of prove themselves a little further by beating somebody who I think is going to be a very worthy adversary.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing will give me more joy, I talked about Ben Simmons' three-point shot, than going into Minnesota and beating that team and watching those fans complain about us again.
Really?
Because you know there's going to be a huge contingent of Eagles fans going out there to Minnesota again. Now, Doug Peterson talked about this yesterday. When he was with Dave Spadaro on the team's website, he said that, yeah, there'll be some nostalgia there, basically, going to the place where you won the Super Bowl. And I'm hoping some people go out there and maybe stand on the spot where you saw the Philly special, right? I'm hoping some of the maybe players go out and do that. Maybe Doug does it himself. I doubt it. But maybe somebody goes out there to acknowledge it. But Doug pointed out that the last time they were there, they had pretty much the whole stadium on their side. Patriots fans, bah. They've been there before. They weren't there for this Super Bowl. Eagles fans took over that stadium. This time it'll be a little bit different, but I still think you'll hear the Eagles fans chirping. And I know those Minnesota Vikings fans are going to be perturbed by all that.
Yeah, they might shake people's sodas up and give them wrong Lyft rides to St. Paul instead of downtown Minneapolis.
Those hoodlums.
Look out.
Those hoodlums.
The bunch, worst bunch of animals out there.
The worst attack possible.
They might not. The weather's going to be decent.
Oh.
I mean, check the weather.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not going to be like how it was for the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. It was so cold.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, it was awful.
That was horrible.
It was pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't exactly toasty.
No, it was not toasty.
But like 75% of the city, you could walk around through tunnels in the sky. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Now, I want to shift here to
the home of Prince.
That's true.
Purple Rain.
Yeah.
I was there for Minnetonka.
Yeah.
That's where Bo Allen grew up. He went to Minnetonka High, I believe.
Sung in Prince Studio.
Yeah.
Recorded a song.
You did?
Yeah. What,
you did?
Yes.
What? You went to Paisley Road?
Yes.
Or is that what it's called?
It's Paisley House of Road.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What was that?
We went to one of them. Yeah, we went to the house.
We were once in a studio.
Paisley Park.
Paisley Park.
Wait, you
my
sang,
wife and I.
You
really?
Yeah,
really?
We took a tour.
And you recorded a song?
Yeah, it's part of the tour. You can record a song.
What did you record?
I don't know.
Purple Rain.
No, it wasn't Purple Rain. It was something else.
Was it a Prince song?
Yeah, it was a Prince song.
Kiss?
No, it was a Kiss. I got to think about it.
Red 1999?
Corvette? I don't know. I can't remember.
Come on, Trey. What was it?
You had like three or four options that you could choose. And so I picked the song and I got in the booth and sung a song.
Mm. Prince. By yourself or with a lady?
By myself.
Okay.
Yeah, put the headphones on.
Where is this?
Turn the button. Where's
the tape?
We're going to need that MP3 track.
I'm going to have to find it. I think I have a fob somewhere.
What year is this?
That's Super Bowl.
Oh, recently?
Oh, yeah, this is a Super Bowl. Yeah.
Oh, you can find it then.
Oh, we need the MP3.
That needs to happen.
Did Rosa jump in also? Or was
she
it
did
a
her
solo?
Own song.
Oh, she did her
yeah,
own.
She
okay.
Like, whoa, I don't need you messing up my harmony. You know?
Who is better?
I'm going to go me.
Rosa needs to get in touch with us and let us know what Trey song.
I got to figure this out. I got to find it. I have it somewhere.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can't wait.
I have to find it.
Wow.
Yeah. So we were hanging out at Prince's house. Just chilling.
Should have dropped an EAGLES at the end of it.
Who's to say he did it? Who's to say that?
We'll find out.
Are you doubting this man, Jamie? That's
no.
All I have to say.
I didn't. I'm sorry.
Thank you for spoiling it right out of the gate. No, but here's what I want to do. I know a lot of people were reacting to everything that happened with Ben Simmons last night, hitting a three. The bench went bonkers last night.
His sister just chimed in. Ben's sister.
Olivia?
Yeah.
Well, what happened?
She tweeted, all I keep hearing was it's the preseason. Justin Anderson got a ball doinked off his face by Marcus Morris. There is no preseason.
I like her.
She's cool.
Yeah. Oh, she a feisty one.
Yeah.
I enjoy Olivia Simmons.
I like Ben Simmons' sister.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So here's what I want to do.
I take her in a street fight against anybody.
Coming up, I want to be able to play for people the Ben Simmons sound. I want to compare and contrast the TV versus radio calls. And then I also want to hear from Brett Brown, and Josh Richardson spoke about it after the game as well. Tobias Harris said something along the lines of, hey, you know what, he's a 100% free throws, or a three-point shooter now.
Yeah.
So why would you throw any shade in his direction? Tobias Harris' words, not mine. Let's get to AJ in West Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up there, AJ?
What up, morning show?
Yo, buddy.
Good morning.
Now, this is what I was most hype about. I compared the Eagles season coming up in my mind and the Sixers season, and I knew both teams was going to do well, but I thought the Sixers would have the more dominating edge when it comes to games. So And this game, regardless if it was against the Lions or whatever, seeing the substitutions that was made and how the team is going to run is exactly what I was thinking about, man. Bob, me and you is going to be talking a lot about execution and things during this season coming up because it's going to be spectacular, yo. I haven't seen a team, a Sixers team this deep in years. And look, anybody who dwells on a three-pointer for Simmons, they really don't know basketball. He didn't even need to do that to be effective. Yo, this boy is going to be crazy this year.
AJ, hold on. Here's one thing I want to get rid of. Everyone realizes that Ben Simmons, and look, he pointed this out and whatever. He's an all-star. You're right. To be effective, he does not need a three-point shot. However, or even a mid-range game. He has been effective already in his career to the point of making an all-star team. But this guy is a guy that could go from a perennial all-star to a perennial MVP candidate if he does have even a mid-range game.
Yes.
That's what people want. They want to see if he comes into the league that good. Imagine how much better he could be if he just develops his game a little further.
That's true, and that's just one cog of this whole team. I want y'all to think of this team as the 91 Duke Blue Devils. We got every single component up and down the line. Great coach, great system. They systematically is just going to win their games that way. The amassment of the talent that they have. And I want y'all to think about it like that. I'm going to keep referencing that. From Bobby Hurley, Grant Hill, all the way to Christian Laettner. That's just how this team is. And the bad part is if you watch the NBA, their height is a deficit. All the teams don't have no height like us. I want y'all to talk about that as the teams just try to pass the ball.
Oh, bully ball. AJ, with our height and the power on the Sixers, and that's something Brett Brown's talked about many times before, is just the bully ball. That's what he wants to see this year.
It was really noticeable last night that they were pressing a lot, they were putting pressure defense, and when their rotations might not have been there or something happened, the length that they have to recover, it's amazing. You know, you have two guys in one spot, the other team, and you're thinking a defender has to make a decision, but they're so long, all of them, that it wasn't really there. A shooter didn't know whether to shoot or pass, and they hold them up just enough so that the recovery can come. And they are going to be a lot of fun to watch.
They absolutely are. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to play for you back-to-back. We're going to play for you the radio call with Tom McGinnis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, as well as Serena Winters and Ala Antanabi. And I believe Mark Jackson was also in on the call for a lot of the game last night.
Yeah, he sat in. A little three-man booth.
Yeah, and that was on NBC Sports Philadelphia. And then we'll get
Trey
the reaction.
Did Trey ever sign that jersey for Mrs. Jackson?
Yeah, did you ever?
Sorry, Miss Jackson. I haven't done it yet.
Yeah. You are not for real. All right, so we'll get that to you coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
Yeah, man, this was it for me.
Yeah. This is your song? You sang?
Yeah, this is the song I sung. Yeah.
Did you try and go all, like, sexy Prince-like?
Oh, yeah, man. You got to get in the mood.
Were you wearing purple?
No, 5%. Take the shirt off. Put a little baby oil on. Let's get into it. There you go. Yeah. You got to feel it, you know? Yeah, man. Get on top. Yeah, that was it, man.
Oh, no, no, no. Keep going.
I don't know anything else.
You don't know anything. Get in the words.
Yeah,
get in the words.
Is Prince the horniest dude in music history?
I would say yes.
It's a pretty big claim because there's been a lot of horny dudes.
Yeah, but I mean, nobody else came out there with some ass out jeans. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
just ass out pants and put on a.
And his music videos just dripping with horniness.
Yeah.
Well, didn't Bobby Brown literally have sex with a woman on stage?
I think that's one of those rumors. I don't know if it's true or not.
You see the video?
No.
Yeah.
That's shocking you haven't seen the video of somebody having sex, Jamie.
Thanks, Bob. It's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I'll vote Prince just because I like him more, I guess. I'll go with that one.
Yeah, man.
We got to uncover the tapes.
Yeah, we went to a concert when he was in New York.
Okay.
And, you know, we had seats right up on the stage. And my wife's a big-time Prince fan.
Okay.
He just lost her mind.
Did you almost lose her that night?
You know,
she was about to risk it all for Prince.
I would have risked it all,
and you would have said, "well, it's Prince, so
yeah,
it's Prince.
I mean, you know, can he at least make me some pancakes before you steal my wife?
Can I get some blueberry pancakes? You know, so you know, because I mean, so he's up on the stage and he looks in our direction, and my wife is losing her mind. My God, he looked at me. We just locked up. Babe, what are you doing? Like, I mean, she just lost her mind. She was a 12-year-old girl again, just lost her mind.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God, Prince! He just stared at me. He's dead! And so they were letting people up on the stage to dance with them for a little bit. And Hugh Douglas's wife at the time ends up on the stage.
What?
And dancing with Prince. And so my wife was pissed because she couldn't get up on stage. And I'm like, I'm glad you didn't make it up there, babe.
I might have lost you.
What am I going to go home and tell the kids? Hey, that, you know,
wow.
Prince stole your mom. You know,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Mom went out for pancakes with Prince, never came back.
That's it. She's gone.
Do you remember? Do you remember, Mom?
Not really. It's been a while.
You know this. You made this Chappelle reference with the pancakes.
Yeah. Well, Trey said it's like true.
Yeah, like in his house, he has like a little old school diner type setup.
Oh yeah, I see it here. I was just looking up images. Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
He'd literally serve you pancakes.
Well, do you know that one of the reasons that Chappelle was such a big fan was because Prince did something for Chappelle's sister.
Hmm.
Chappelle's sister was like, I think, a chubby kid, and she went to a Prince concert, and Prince like grabbed her hand at one point and just said, I want you to know you're beautiful.
Wow.
And then that girl, like, the girl's life was like changed forever. Like Chappelle's sister.
Wow.
Like, how incredible
is
that?
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And like Prince, like, looked
at her. Apparently he's like the greatest dude ever.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He did a ton of charitable stuff. Uh-huh. Was just like great with everybody.
Yeah. And then just go ride around town on a bicycle. You know what I'm saying? Just hang out.
Apparently he could ball too.
Yeah, cahoots.
Yeah,
he had a basketball court and a ping pong table. We played ping pong.
In Prince's house.
That's pretty cool.
And he plays like, what, 17, 18 instruments or something like that?
I think his first album, he did everything.
Yeah.
By the way, this conversation is happening because the Eagles are playing the Vikings in Minnesota.
And Trey went to Paisley Park.
And our...
with the Paisley Park. And our, recorded Cream.
And our rabbit hole of a show, what happens is sometimes we go down another rabbit hole. And there we are with Prince. Just hanging out.
Just hanging out.
Last thing, I will say this. I very few people you could call me and be like, hey, I'm at so-and-so's house. And I'd be like, oh my God, amazing, cool, right? My buddy, who was in the radio business, I graduated Temple with him, my buddy Stones,
mm-hmm.
He had to go cover the Grammys one year.
Wow, that's cool.
And around 1 a.m, he called me, and I answered, because I knew where he was. And he goes, you're not going to believe where I am right now. And I go, where are you at? He goes, I'm at Prince's house in L.A.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, it's kind of cool.
The one he painted purple?
Go play basketball. I think it was the one he painted purple.
He rented these people houses.
It was Carlos Boozer's house.
That's right, it was.
Do you remember this story?
Yes, it was.
Wait.
So Carlos Boozer owned a house, I think, in L.A., and he rented it out when he was with another team. He wasn't going to be in L.A. for the 2 years or whatever. Rented it out. Prince ended up renting it. He basically, like, demoed the whole place.
Painted it purple.
Painted it purple. Put, like, a moat and a river, like, a purple river in. Did, like, all this stuff. Carlos Boozer comes back to the house and, like, is like, yo, Prince, what the hell, man? Like, this isn't my house at all. And I think Prince was like, here's $2 million, man. It's all cool. And, like, just gave him money. Paid
was that
for
a
him.
Prince imitation?
I don't know what Prince thought, really talks
I
like.
I felt like it was Prince talking.
Yeah. But apparently just, like, greased him and was like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's cool.
Yeah, Prince probably looked at him. Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale of the moon?
But, yeah, no, Carlos Boozer.
Okay, it's cool.
How about that?
I think that's the first time the words... Prince, what the hell, man, ever got said. Let's get to, now coming up, we have Trench Talk at 7:30. And yes. Then we also got to go through the play-by-play of Ben Simmons. We're going to come bring that to you in a minute here. Graph and Media, what's up, buddy?
Hey, bigger freak, Prince, John Mayer, Mark's cousin. Go.
Oh. You jerk. You're a jerk, Graph. How about that?
Is there a ringtone, hey. Prince, Mark?
Oh,
all right,
man.
Dude.
Really? Yeah.
Wow. I don't know what my cousin's
does she have ass
is.
Out jeans?
She does not have ass out jeans.
You don't know.
You didn't know
she was a freak until this
she's
weekend.
She's not a freak. The guy
she's
was
a
telling
sex
a joke.
Freak.
She's a sweet, innocent young lady.
Yeah.
She's a mother
Mark,
of twins.
Like, were you prepared for this at all when you told everybody about it?
I expected some jive talk. I didn't expect it to take over my life.
Yeah, well, I mean, you should have. So there's that.
I read your tweet yesterday about what you learned during the year of the program, and it was about my cousin being a freak, my sweet, innocent angel of a cousin.
Hey, look, and, you know, Jamie has two left feet, as we tell from that awesome Wings lacrosse video.
That's a good point. Yep.
I probably watched that video like 15 times, Jamie. You keep up, bro. Hey, and speaking of pancakes, I got a question for you guys. Belgian waffle or buttermilk pancakes?
Pancakes.
Yeah, I go pancakes.
I'm a waffle.
Yeah, I'll go Belgian. I'll go Belgian waffle. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so 3-2, Belgian waffle wins.
Okay. All right,
most delicious breakfast.
Belgian waffle is best when there's Neapolitan ice cream in the middle. We can all agree on that, right?
What? Oh, I've never tried. Dude. You go Alamode?
Waffles and ice cream?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's a killer.
Dude, yeah, the boardwalk when you're young.
Powdered sugar on top?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. I'm going to have to give that a ride, boys.
Yeah, it's a staple.
All right, anyway, let's talk some basketball, shall we?
Go for it.
I don't like the Minnesota Vikings. I'm not going to waste my time talking about them.
All right.
I don't know why people are nervous. It's Kirk Cousins. What has Kirk Cousins done?
He beat the Eagles last year?
Oh, come on, dude. Who cares? Anyway.
It's a fine rebuttal. You're right. I'm sorry.
All right, so Ben Simmons last night, I mean, the three-pointer was cool and all, and I definitely called Mark and told him that I'll talk to him in June, but, like, I was more impressed with just how he was handling the basketball. So there was, like, one series where he ran down the court, got into, like, the right corner, and then just started doing some spin moves, behind the back, spin move, drive the lane, get the foul. And you're saying to yourself, like, if this kid plays like this and is that strong with the basketball, I feel like he's keeping it closer to his body. I mean, look, you know, like, a 12, 15-foot jump shot's great, but I hope that his foul shooting – I feel like, Bob, were you talking about this morning? I feel like if his foul shooting gets better and he's shooting like 65, 70% from the line, I think that'll be more potent in his game than a pull-up J or three-pointer.
Yeah, he was 2-for-6 last night. Didn't look good. Trey and I were talking about it earlier. There's just nothing from the waist down that he incorporates into his foul shot. I would like to see it be more fluid up through the legs and you know, through the body.
Well, that's basically where I was going with that. Like, it's kind of just like a giant, like, it's a treat at the center line. I don't know. I feel like somebody needs to teach a beef. But then, when it comes to Josh Richardson, I'm like a huge fan of this kid. And I know it's a preseason game against some scrub China team.
Yeah.
But I don't really care. The kid can shoot a three pointer from any corner, which is fantastic. And he also shoots contested threes, as you can tell by that tray ball he had with the follow up foul. Just like laying on the line, it was great laying on his back. But I don't know. I'm pretty excited. The lines they were running last night. They at one point they had Joe, Ben, Rich, and then I think it was like two shooters on the floor. Didn't have Al on the floor. They come back out. They got Tobias, Al Harris, Al Horford on the floor, and they got Josh. And you're just saying to yourself, like, if he can continue to run these lines, and these guys got length, man, they're so long. It is. Oh, it's a beautiful symphony to just watch. Mm-hmm. And Squeaky Shoe Season is white propellant. So I'm all for basketball being back, baby.
All right, Kraft.
You guys have a good one.
You too, right, buddy. Bro. Take it easy, man. All right, now on that note. By the way,
Squeaky Shoe Season cracked me up. I saw his tweets last night.
The guy that I'm probably – Ben Simmons hit a three. Great. But the guy that I'm probably most, I don't know, unjustifiably excited about after a game like that is Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah.
Watching him last night, and like, I don't know how to describe it because they played China. They played a Chinese league team, right? Guangzhou, right?
Right.
But he just looked good last night. His movements on the floor looked good. He looked like he was in sync with his teammates. Like, he like looked like you belong, of course, against a Chinese league team. But just watching him play, I couldn't help but feel a little impressed with what he was doing.
Oh, no question. And what he does is he jumps in passing lanes. He does that. But watching him last night, again, it's not about the opponent. But he jumps into passing lanes or anticipates something without losing sight of where he needs to be should he not get there. You know, Allen Iverson could jump in passing lanes and average 2-3 steals a game. But oftentimes when he didn't get it, jumping out there so much, there goes his guy wide open, whether it's back door, whether it's an open jumper. Thybulle's not like that from what I saw last night. He's keenly aware of where his guy is, but at the same time able to get hands on the ball. I love guys that block shots when they leave their feet after the offensive player's already left their feet.
All right, without further ado, I've been promising this. First off, what do we have? We have radio first. What do we say here? We got the radio call last night of Ben Simmons' magic moment when he hit his three.
Here to center.
No. I wish that's what it was. All right. Here is Tom McGinnis last night here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Ben Simmons to shoot a three, and he makes it. Ben Simmons closes out the first half with a three-point shot, and that makes it 82-41. A standing ovation.
Rather subdued, Tom McGinnis.
Tom's like in the Brett school of things.
Yeah. He kind of is.
Come on, Tom. I mean, kind of left me hanging on that.
A little bit.
All right, let's hear the TV call on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Solid sportsmanship.
Serena Winters and Ala Abdelnaby last night on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
They want him to shoot it.
And he does. Ben Simmons shoots the three. The fans want it. They're asking for it. And Ben Simmons is giving it to him. Joel Embiid comes onto the court and gives him a big hug. That has got to feel good. Let's take a look at it again, shall we? Okay. Fans are on their feet. Let me get what they want.
If I'm Ben, I'm saying, what's all the fuss about? Yeah. This is what I do now. Leave me open. I'm going to make you pay.
You hear the crowd in the background just go absolutely bonkers. You see the guys on the bench go bonkers. And you want to tell me, people want to call today and say, is that that big a deal? It's a big deal.
I was going bonkers.
I was going nuts.
I'm riding the car. Sonny made a three. What? Woo!
Yeah, how could you not go crazy?
I had to tweet it out. All right. Use my favorite GIF. Or GIF.
What was your favorite GIF? I don't even
know. Nacho Libre.
Yes. Oh, all right. That's pretty good.
The best.
That's pretty good. Yeah, yes. That's pretty good. All right. Now, we're going to let you hear Brett Brown and Josh Richardson a little bit later in the show. But we can't lay it off anymore. We got an Eagles game coming up on Sunday.
Yes,
we
do.
And they're taking on those Minnesota Vikings.
And
we got a little trench talk coming up right now.
Here we go.
Mr. Trey Thomas. Trench talk, ladies and gentlemen.
So here we go. We're getting ready for the Minnesota Fighting Vikings. All right, let's just go over a couple numbers real quick. Their defense is ranked sixth in the league when it comes to passing defense, averaging 6.2 yards per pass, giving up 204 yards a game. They've given up 8 touchdowns. They have 4 interceptions. Here's where it gets a little dicey.
Uh-oh.
15 sacks they've accumulated, which is 6th in the league. Their rushing defense is 9th in the league. They're only averaging, giving up only 3.6 yards, 88 yards a game, and they have only allowed 1 touchdown. Now, when you compare that to our team, when you look at the Eagles' offense, their passing offense is rated 21st. We're in 21st place right now.
21st?
That's a negative. Against the 6th place. They're rushing. We're 18th in the league right now against their 9th in rushing right now. Yeah, so. They're giving up three. We're averaging 3.9 yards a game.
Real quick.
Per carry.
Trey, in the early goings of this version of Trench Talk, you had me a little concerned.
Yeah, there should be some concern.
I don't hear confidence.
There should be some concern.
Okay.
All right, so here we go. Yeah, they have I misspoke the other day when I was like, oh, yeah, they're going to spread us out and go 5 down. Well, what they are a 4 down front. So they're going to be coming in with a 4-3 front. You might see them in some nickel. You got Big Hunter, Joseph, Stephen Griffin as their 4 down linemen. And then you have Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks. All right, now.
We got the wrong Kendricks.
Again.
Wrong brother.
Yeah.
Eric Kendricks is a stud.
Yeah, he is.
He is a stud. He does an excellent job of slipping in and out of blocks. I mean, he'll sit up there and watch the combination blocks and will take the gap. He is constantly making plays in the backfield. I know, I mean, there's nothing else to say about him other than that he's a stud. You have Hunter that has 5 sacks. Griffin has 3 sacks. Everybody on their defensive line right now as starters has sacks. So this right here, Anthony Barr, if you're looking for a linebacker that's going to be your guide, so whenever they want to say, all right, you know what, we're going to come into a 5 down front, what they'll do is they'll shift everybody to the left, and they'll bring Anthony Barr, who is number 55, down to the line of scrimmage and let him play outside. So they'll move everybody over towards Griffin, and then 55 comes down, and then now that's how they build their 5 down front. Big 98, Joseph, is a load. He is a load. These group of guys, they do a good job of bending that break. They don't give up a lot of ground, so they kind of keep the offensive line right down the line of scrimmage, and then Kendricks comes behind them and will make plays. I mean, that's what they're doing there. They're taking up defensive linemen so that Kendricks can come in there and then make the play. Now, when you look at what this team has done, they're 3-2 right now. Versus Atlanta, they have 4 sacks, 7 tackles for loss, 8 pass deflections, and 7 quarterback hits. Against Green Bay, 2, 7, 4, 9 quarterback hits. Against the Raiders, 4 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, 5 quarterback hits. Chicago, only 1 sack. They lost that game. 4 quarterback hits. Against the Giants, 4 sacks, 11 pass deflections, and 8 quarterback hits. This team has had 33 quarterback hits, man. You know, 15 sacks, like I said, 31 tackles for loss this defense has. So they're playing in the backfield so far. I mean, they're really changing the line of scrimmage and getting after it. Now, Green Bay had the most yards against them, rushing yards against them with 144 yards. But this is going to be a group that we're going to have to get out there and push. I think that not having DeSean Jackson concerns me when it comes to this defense, because their secondary, they're going to make sure that they keep everybody in front of them. They're not going to give up those big plays. Every now and then you might catch one confusing or whatever, but they're going to make sure that they try to keep everybody in front of them. And if you don't have anybody that can take the top off of them, they're just going to play back and keep everybody in front of them and then take it from there. They've already generated, how many interceptions did I say that they have? 4 interceptions. So, you know, it's not something where I think they're rating 7th in the league right now when it comes to taking away the ball from the offense. But, you know, this is going to be a challenge, man, because you're going to have an active front, a front 4 that's extremely strong, and guys that don't bend. You're not guys that you're just going to push off the ball. They're going to make sure that they try to hold that line firm, and then they're going to allow Kendricks to get in there and make his plays and do what he does. But when it comes to their blitzes, it's not something that's real, you know, nothing too crazy, nothing that you shouldn't be too concerned about. But there are going to be some challenges where you might see both the backers come slanting in one way, and then the tackle to go around the backers to come around. They have a couple of little different blitz packages that I've recorded. I'll make sure I tweet out so you guys can check it out. But, you know, number 97 has a nasty Griffin. He has a nasty spin move on off of his 4th step. Both of their defensive ends are guys that line up with their inside foot back. So you know that the power rush is going to come. The bull rush is going to come on their 3rd or 4th step. But like I said, Griffin, he has an inside spin. He has an inside spin move that he likes to work. Hunter on the other end, he has a nasty, he can stop on the dime, man, where he can stop on the dime and cut inside. So this is going to be one of those games where Lane needs to make sure that he doesn't overset, because Hunter will take the inside on him. And I think that our guards and centers are going to have to be physical with these those defensive tackles that they have in there, because there are some big physical guys that it's going to be hard to move around. But, you know, we're going to have to be up to the challenge.
Who are the two guys you fear the most on that defensive line? Because the guys that I always remember from years past, Everson Griffin and Linville Joseph.
Yeah.
Those are the two guys that I always go, they always seem to cause problems for the Eagles.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Griffin is still, he has a nice little spin move. Other than that, he'll come with a long arm bull rush. So I think if with JP being in this game, I think this is something that, I mean, JP's been around forever, man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's not going to throw anything at him that JP hasn't seen, but it's going to be, you know, he's going to have to be on his horse. He's going to have to be able to sit down, not be able to, one of the things I've been seeing that JP has a problem with is when a guy bulls and then works inside on him. I think it's because his right knee is still not where it needs to be. It might be still be a little weak in that leg, but you know, this is something that he's going to have to step up for this game. Griffin is, he's going to give you what he needs. He has his nice little spin move, but Hunter, he's slick, man. He's a slick cat that's going to give you those little, he'll stop on the dime and come inside on you. And you're going to have to be on your
P's. I don't even want to ask you this because I'm afraid of the answer.
Huh.
If you had to say right now on this Wednesday, who has the edge on Sunday, the defensive front or the defense as a whole when it comes to the Minnesota Vikings or the Philadelphia Eagles offense and their offensive line, if you have to go right now, who has the edge? What would you say?
I say the defense, really. You know, without DeSean Jackson in our lineup, you know, you don't have anybody that's going to help take the top off the defense and spread everybody out. You know, You know, I'm hoping that, you know, we can get out there and get out there. Eric Wilson is another guy, one of their other linebackers that had two sacks. Now, I don't know if he was injured or not, because he was the starting linebacker at first when once the season started. But then you had 55, big Anthony Barr, who stepped in and took his position. One of the things also, too, that they have to watch out for, Ben Gideon, I believe is his name, is number 42. You know, I know that you see that number. It's a 42, but, you know, you can't get confused by the number. He is a linebacker. You might want to keep eyes on him.
All right. This has been Trench Talk with Trey Thomas.
Yeah! Pretty cool! Pretty damn cool!
I think, no, I mean, no offense to you, my dear friend, but I think we needed the Debbie Downer horns on that one.
Womp, womp.
Eh. I think that's kind of how it felt. But you spin the truth, brother.
I mean, it is.
It's the NFL. It's weird.
It's the NFL. Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, you can only go off of what the numbers are, what you see on film, and, you know.
All right.
And if there's a unit you really need to step up, I'm okay saying, hey, offensive line, your turn.
I do think they'll bounce back.
Yeah,
and they're not gonna be. I don't think it's going to be. I do agree. Trey, it's a pretty solid front they're facing themselves, a defensive front. But nonetheless, I still see this as being a game where they can keep them under control.
And the key to it is that you're going to have to make those combination blocks, but you have to get up to the linebackers. You have to make sure that when you have to make a combination block up to Eric Kendricks, that you get to him.
Right.
Because he's going to try to sleep off and make a play.
All right, we'll try to devise a way ourselves as to how they can do that. But coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll talk to Adam Schefter, get the latest on the Odell Beckham Jr. rumors that are swirling around. Time of the Fanatic, 744.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
Coming up in about 6 minutes, we're going to hear from Adam Schefter. Get the latest on any Odell Beckham rumors. Rather, basically, Adam Schefter will confirm or deny whether or not anything has happened. Any tires have been kicked. Any advancements in Jalen Ramsey. Anything possible.
I feel like it's a good chance he goes, huh? Odell Beckham, what? No, here it is.
It's quite
here
possible.
It is. Ready? Look. Oh, this is what he'll say.
Oh, okay.
Look. As I've said before, the Eagles and Howie Roseman always kick the tires. So, does it surprise me if maybe they made a phone call? Certainly not. That will be Shefty's response today.
And that will not be what some might term a boner killer? They'll look at it as, I guess it makes sense.
Well, we haven't used boner killer in a while.
We kind of got away from it.
Yeah, we did. We grew up, I thought.
That's hilarious. We'll hear from Adam Schefter coming up in a minute. We'll also let you know how you can win $10,000. And how about this? Tonight from 6 to 7 o'clock, don't miss the Ron Jaworski Show live from Ramblewood Country Club.
Sensational.
Is Jaws better? He'll be doing the show tonight?
Yeah.
He was a little sick last week. And hopefully we'll hear from him on Friday.
Yeah.
To help break this game down just a wee bit. Coming up, we will hear from Josh Richardson and Brett Brown about the Ben Simmons shot last night. And I still want to know from people, where were you when it happened? What were you doing? What were you in the middle of? What were you doing?
By the way,
when that actually happened.
Josh Richardson, Trey Burke. Nice to have some guys that can just catch and shoot.
It is. Two guys that can do that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Watching that game last night, in trying to find the right words to describe my excitement over Matisse Thybulle without being crazy, like the Ben Simmons stuff we're having fun with, we're running a little wild with it, and we certainly started the show with it and all that. But when it comes to everything else, when it comes to Matisse Thybulle and it comes to guys like Josh Richardson, it comes like guys like Trey Burke or even Zaire Smith, whoever it might be, they were playing against the Chinese League team. All right, Guangzhou. They're playing against Guangzhou. You could still see them on the court with their teammates, how they move with them, see whether or not they're on the same page and the first time they're ever playing some semblance of a game with them that's not a practice. For all intents and purposes, it was a glorified practice yesterday. When you win by whatever it was, 55, 60 points, I believe they covered. The spread was 55.5 points. I think they took care of business. But still, just watching them play on their home court for the first time this year as a team, you could just see guys' movement, their quickness, their fluidity with a teammate, their chemistry, a better way to put it, with a teammate. You saw all that last night. It was great to see. It was just great to see that little tiny step forward.
Yeah, I like the way Al Horford found spots and spotted up when he had to. No dribble high handoffs. It looked like Joel Embiid, they're really concentrating on getting him down low. And once he gets the ball down low, reading defenses as opposed to reacting and making them do something to him to stop him. I think he's reading defenses a little bit more. I think that might be a point of emphasis with him. So, Thybulle, He was my first note last night.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. Yeah. Defensively, he's really good. And he just looks like he's fluid and belongs.
I typed in Ben Simmons 3, big bold letters, capitals, and then it was Matisse Thybulle right after that. Those are the things that jumped out to me in that game.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it was just good to see the guys play basketball. I got chills. I walked out to the NBC studios. I walked into the Wells Fargo Center. I just saw the court down, the new scoreboard. That's ginormous.
I'll tell you what.
That's no joke.
That's awesome. The new it used to be the Lexus Club right there.
Yes,
they expanded that. That's beautiful.
The
gorgeous.
Center City Club, I believe.
Is that what it's called now? Upstairs, they did it. I think we went there last year when they had the little party, or Jamie and I went. Is all renovated up top. I mean, the place looks really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, before we worked together, I saw you down there, and
that's right.
People started giving you free sushi.
Really?
And I don't. Yeah, they started taking the sushi and just giving it to you. And I'm like, I gotta hang with Bob Cooney more often.
That's right. I do remember that.
Yeah, they're like, Bob, you want sushi?
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
I used to work down there. That's why I know people. Yeah.
I like the mayor of the Wells Fargo Center, yeah, Bob right. Cooney. Yeah. I got free sushi, Trey.
Until he left me hanging that one time.
That's right. He did leave you hanging. That's right.
No,
you didn't leave the press pass for our man over here.
I did leave it. He didn't know where to find it. It's not up to me to leave it. It's up to the Sixers.
You're the mayor of the Wells Fargo Center.
The mayor got in touch with the Minions. The Minions were supposed to have it. I don't know what happened in between.
Maybe
I can only do so much.
Wait, I got Trey's press pass, and he got the sushi. I think that's there's
he got
a mix
somebody
up.
Else's press pass eventually. Yeah,
he got Barrett Brooks.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to tell you that. So the other thing we're going to get into a little bit here with Adam Schefter is that Trey, you would go Jalen Ramsey before you went Odell Beckham Jr.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting to me.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.